Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you and for this particularly a blessing on your word this morning, and particularly we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to attend your word, to come with it with power and to shine the light of and on our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us, Father and Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. And we are so thankful and grateful that you love us and that you care about us and that you do bless us and bless us abundantly in and through Christ. Father, we're thankful and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, just going to focus on this, mainly on through this one verse, verse 8, and thinking of the work of the Spirit, in particular, the love of the Holy Spirit, and what that produces, because the Spirit's love is an infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love, just like the love of the Father and the love of the Son, and it produces something in us. Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is fully God. Now, most of us, I would assume correctly, have at times or even maybe now still have a little bit of a hard time understanding or fully comprehending or maybe misunderstanding the work of the Holy Spirit. We would believe that he's the third person of the Godhead. Our confession of faith makes that clear, and the shorter catechism, the Baptist version, says God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, which would include his love, and truth. And so God, that God, is in three persons. The next question asks, are there more gods than one? And the answer, of course, is there is but one only, the living and true God. And then the next question says, and how many persons are there in the Godhead? There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. So that means that within this Godhead, all three are equal in power and glory. They are individual persons, and yet one living and true God. Can we comprehend that? No. But it's important for us to believe that, because that's what the Scriptures teach. And to keep it straight isn't always easy, especially when we have some misconceptions of the persons of the Godhead. In particular, we may have misunderstanding of the Son and his work, and that would be a deadly, dangerous misunderstanding or because that's the very essence of our faith. And oftentimes, I think we have some fuzzy thoughts or misunderstandings of the person of the Holy Spirit. And one of the keys to understanding the Holy Spirit is to believing, first of all, that he is truly God. God, the Holy Spirit, a person. God is a personal God. We have fellowship with our God. We love our God, right? We're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that would include the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And that love comes through his love for us. We know and worship God as our Father in heaven, right? The Heavenly Father. And we are convinced, I'm sure you're convinced, that your Heavenly Father loves you. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. And so we can be assured of the love of the Father. We can certainly and must be convinced and have the love of Christ in us, but also have love for Christ. The Bible tells us that we are condemned if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. But our love, where does it come from? We're told in 1 John, we love him, or we love because he first loved us. And that we can understand, we can grasp. We did never love God before we were saved. We needed the love of God in us and to working in us. We need the love of Christ. We need to know Christ in truth in order for us to have any love for God. And yet it is a proof, knowing and loving God is a proof that we're born again, that we're saved. And also, to the Holy Spirit, it would be just as true, equal in power and glory and equal in love. The Holy Spirit loves us. We're told in it's actually the memory verse this morning that Paul says that, writes to the Roman church in Rome, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer. And our verse 8 of Colossians 1 speaks about love in the Spirit. The love of the Spirit who loves us, indwells us. He comes and resides. He's sent to live within us. And that love, because he loves us, because he's within us, bears fruit. The chief fruit being what? What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love, right? Love and joy and peace and all the others spring forth from that. But it's what the love of the Spirit who dwells in us produces in us. It's an outworking, and that would fit with the verses that we just read, because Paul gives thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Where did their love come from? Where does your love come from? The true love, the supernatural love, not a natural love, but a supernatural love for the whole, for the body of Christ, for your brothers and sisters. It comes from God. It comes in particular from God, the Holy Spirit. And so they could have no love. Paul would not be able to say this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, and because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. So he's giving testimony to the work of the Spirit. And here in verse 8 as well, he says, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Now that has a twofold meaning. Again, like Romans 15, the Spirit does love us. And how do we know that? Because the Scriptures tell us. And that love produces our love for him, our love for others. It produces the other fruits of the Spirit. One of the key teachings of Scripture is about the person of God, right? And the Scriptures tell us that God is light, right? God is holy. That would be particularly evident in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. God is Spirit, but we designate him as the Holy Spirit. It tells us about his nature and character. But one of the keys to understanding God and blessings to knowing God is to know that God is love. Not only that he loves, but his very nature is love. Now, is that only the Father? Or only the Father and the Son? No. They're equal in power and glory, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his love. And so the Holy Spirit is love and does love. He loves us. Just like we can get comfort and peace from knowing that the Father loves you and he's adopted you and you're his child, we're his children, sons and daughters. That's comforting. That brings us peace and strength and help. And to know that Christ loved us and gave himself for us, that brings us strength and comfort and assurance that we're loved, and from all eternity the Father loved us, the Son loves us, and the Holy Spirit loves us. All three love us. And particularly again, this morning we'll focus on the Holy Spirit. He loves us, and he loves us as a person. One of the great mistakes that we, even as believers, and even sometimes as long-time believers, we begin to think of the Holy Spirit as not a person for some reason, because we read in Scripture his work, right? And his work is like powerful. It's within us. It accomplishes things. It comes in power. And so the heresy, the wrong thought about the Holy Spirit is that he's only an influence or a force. And that's the heresies that the Jehovah's Witnesses teach and other groups. He's not, he does act as a force and as, with great power. And the Holy Spirit came upon the church, poured out in the day of Pentecost, miraculous signs and wonders, and people speaking in a language that was not their own. And all that went on there, the rushing and the sound of the wind and the flames over the heads. But he's more than an influence. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. And the proof of that is he loves. God is love, but God loves. The Father loves. The Son loves. The Holy Spirit. Only a person can love us, can love and be loved. And so it's important for us to think in our minds and force ourselves to remember that the Holy Spirit is a person. And as a person, we can have fellowship with him. In 2 Corinthians, the doxology that we sometimes say is an important one. It's a Trinitarian doxology in 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God," and that would imply the Father, because we're thinking of the Trinity, the grace of Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Trinity, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, indivisible, equal in power and glory, and the fellowship here is highlighted with the Holy Spirit. How can you have a fellowship with a force? How can you have fellowship with an influence, right? If that was true, there would be no possibility of fellowship. And love, and him loving us, us loving him, us worshiping him. You see, God deserves all worship. He's an infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God who deserves, desires, and deserves all our worship with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, every one of the persons of the Godhead. So it's clear from Scripture. The Spirit can be grieved, right? And only a person can be grieved. The Spirit jealously yearns for our fellowship and our selfless love. It says in James that we're adulteresses and adulterers and adulteresses if we're playing and being drawn aside to the world. We're acting like an adulteress because we're married to our God. And God in us, the Spirit in us, is jealous with a love. Only a person can love in that way. And the Spirit of God loves us, and we need to love and worship him as the Spirit. One of the great blessings of the work of the Spirit, and so that love does produce work. It produces fruit in our lives. The chief fruit of the Spirit being love, and we read about that in 1 Corinthians 13, that love, the particular love, the chief fruit of the Holy Spirit, without which, first it says, we could have the tongues of angels and men preach like Spurgeon, but if we don't have love, if we don't have the work of the Spirit, the love of the Spirit in us, producing love, if we're not born again by the Holy Spirit, we are nothing, like a clanging cymbal. How about gifts, prophecy, understanding all mystery, knowledge, having all knowledge, having all faith, but without love, zip, zero, nothing. I am nothing, Paul says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That's the fruit of the Spirit of love. That's the proof that we are born again, that we know God in truth, and that we have our God is in fellowship with our God and have them now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So the greatest fruit that the Spirit produces in us is love. And again, going back to Colossians 1, that it was evident in the lives of the believers there, the church members there, that the Spirit had been bearing fruit. It mentions fruit. It says bringing forth fruit. It ascribes it to the Word. It ascribes it to the gospel, the truth. But who is the author of the gospel, the written gospel? Who is the author of the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. It says, holy men carried along by the Holy Spirit. God breathed. The Spirit of the Scriptures are God breathed. Who is the breath there? Who is the one who moved men to write the Word of God? But the Holy Spirit. So it is the truth coming through the Holy Spirit. Well, how can we value the work of the Spirit in giving us the Word of God? We would know nothing about God, know nothing about our need of God and ability to be saved except through the Word of God. So, and the Holy Spirit takes that Word and particularly shines the light on the person and work of Christ. We read that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, where we see the contrast between the veil being over the face, the mind, and the heart of the Jews, unable to lift it off themselves, and yet when the Spirit works, it says, now, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom from the power and the penalty of sin. Freedom in Christ, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, and he transforms us. His great role that he takes upon himself in the covenant of grace. You see, God made a covenant before time began. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit covenanted together, purposed together to save a people, to rescue sinners out of mankind, out of every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. And the Son had a role. He had a role to come, become one of us, to accomplish our salvation, to take on our nature, unite our human nature, body and soul, to his divinity, and rescue us, laying down his life as a sacrifice, providing for us a perfect righteousness that we needed. And he accomplished it. He said, it is finished, and there's nothing to be added. He ascends on high. He seats at God's right. He sits at God's right hand, interceding for us and waiting for us to return in all glory, power, and glory. The Holy Spirit is sent from the Father and the Son, poured out on the church. And we are benefits of that. And his main role as the Holy Spirit is to apply the work of redemption, Christ's perfect work. He applies it. It would have no effect upon us. We could hear it for a million years, hear the gospel perfectly preached, unless the Spirit comes in power and works in our hearts. He brings us to life. There's a dead corpse. Every one of us is spiritually dead. And he brings life. He regenerates us. He gives us the new birth. He opens our minds. Our minds are darkened spiritually. The Spirit comes and there's light. He shines light into our souls and we begin to understand. He teaches us. He's the one who leads us and teaches us into all truth, and especially about Christ. He shows us, he convicts us of our sins, and he shines the glorious light on Christ. And we are transformed. It says in chapter 4, verse 6, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And who is that? That's the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who was there at creation. And when there was nothing, and everything was dark, and it was void, he brought he was there and brought light. Let there be light. It came from the Holy Spirit, and especially in the new creation. The Spirit brings life and light, and we are born again, and we are brought to Christ. We're brought to repentance as we see our sin and danger, and we're brought to cling to see our need of Christ and flee to him for refuge as our city of refuge, we heard this morning in Sunday school. So he produces love in us, the Spirit of God, how important it is. Does the Holy Spirit love us? There can be one answer to this question. Yes, this is a quote from Horatius Bonar. Yes, he does, as truly as the Father loves us, as truly as the Son loves us, so truly does the Spirit love us. The grace or free love which the sinner needs and which has been revealed and sealed to us through the seed of the woman, the Word made flesh, belongs equally to the Father, Son, and Spirit. The love which we believe to be in God must be the same in each person of the Godhead, else the Godhead would be divided, one person at variance with another. And sometimes, if we're honest, we see so separate the God, as if, you know, the Father is the stern one, and the Son is the gentle and the loving one, and we're kind of, and the Holy Spirit, we don't know what to think of him most of the time, you know, if we're not into the supernatural gifts, which is a wrong theology, we might just almost ignore him. And or think that we're so afraid. Have you ever been so afraid to either blaspheme or grieve the Spirit even, that we've kind of got an idea that there's this, you know, we don't even want to think of him and deal with him. And yet it's so far from the truth. It's so far from what we should be thinking of love of the Spirit, how he strives with sinners. He's so patient and he's working and he's little by little bringing us to the Savior in love and drawing us. Who draws us to Christ with cords of love? It's the Holy Spirit, the effectual calling, that drawing sinners to Christ. And that's done out of love, by the love of the Spirit. And he continues to strive with us. Do we always cooperate with the Spirit? Are we like, you know, always, yeah, right there? No, it's the battle that we have. The flesh wages war against the Spirit, and the Spirit against, thankfully, is there waging war against our flesh and sanctifying us. Continue to be patient and work with us. And is the means of grace, the Word of God, is the sword of the Spirit. And he's the one that works faith in us. Where do we get faith from? It's Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, but it comes through by the work of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit, which is a good way to view. He has a ministry, and he blesses the word to us. He gives us faith. He gives us repentance. He brings us to Christ, and he continues to patiently transform us into the image of the Son, our Savior. Some important applications. We need to rethink and think about worship, our worship of the Spirit. Not in an unbiblical way, not to do things that are unbiblical and to start speaking in tongues or thinking we can do things that we can't or prophesying. None of that is for today. None of that, all of that was gone away with the end, at the end of the apostles dying and the church having the word of God. That faded away. That's gone. Now we, and you almost want to say stuck. We're stuck with the word of God. We're not really stuck. It's wonderful. It's actually better than if, it says that in 2 Peter. It says, this is a more sure word than if we heard a voice from heaven. People still think they hear voices from heaven. It's not from heaven. The voice of God is in the word of God, and the Spirit, miraculously enough, blesses the word so that we understand it, we believe it, we're willing to accept the promises and love the God of the Bible and grow in that grace and be able to bear fruit. So we need to worship the Spirit in a proper way, to pray to Him. It's totally appropriate to pray not only for the Spirit, as we're told in Luke, and where we have asked the Heavenly Father, will He not give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, but to pray to the Spirit. Why not? He is God. We can only pray to God, but we most certainly must pray to God. And so the Holy Spirit being God, we can pray to Him, but He works in us and even helps with those prayers. Even comes with us and works in us. He intercedes for us. He intercedes in a way that it's with our prayers and He inspires our prayers and all that the Spirit does. We need to love and appreciate Him more and depend on Him more and seek to worship Him more, and knowing that we can do nothing apart from His work, His love, the fruit of the Spirit being love and joy. How important is it for us to have joy as Christians? What kind of Christians are we when we don't have joy? And that's the result of if we don't have the Spirit's, if we don't have the Spirit of all, at all, we can't do anything. We're not saved. And if you're here this morning and you do not have the Spirit, you are not in Christ. You haven't come to Christ. You don't have the Spirit of God. And you are under God's wrath and subject to His judgment. The judgment is coming. Three things the Spirit witnesses to, right? Sin, righteousness, the fact that we're sinners, the fact that we don't have a righteousness of our own, but it's found in Christ, and that the judgment will come. The judgment to come. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're in Christ, we're safe. We're safe from that wrath that's burned out already on Christ, our sins being paid for. But if not, if you're outside of Christ this morning, I don't care if you've been baptized, if you've joined a church, if you're a good person, you are unsaved. You do not have the Spirit. You're not born of God. You can't love God. You can't love your brothers and sisters. Because in reality, you don't have true brothers and sisters in Christ. Come to Christ. The remedy is always the same. If the Spirit is beginning to convict, beginning to work even a little bit, press on. Don't ignore the striving of the Spirit, because He may not always strive with you. He may not always convict you. You may go off into an eternity in hell. That would be a horrible thing. We can ask for more of the Spirit and more of His strength and power. And He does comfort. He's the comforter. And so do we need more comfort? Do we need more peace? Do we need more joy, patience, kindness, goodness, all the fruits of the Spirit we most certainly need? So we need to ask. James says, we do not have because we do not ask. He works in us obedience to the Word of God, to the law of God, to the Word of God, and gives us faith in the promises particularly. He makes those real to us, and that's His work. So all that to say that the Spirit is love, the Spirit loves us, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we need to pursue those things and love Him back and have a biblical understanding of our loving Holy Spirit, our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We will never know any of this apart from Your word. And we're thankful for Your love for us, Father. We thank You that thankful that we can be assured even by the Holy Spirit that you love us, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, know we're adopted, we're children of God. We're thankful for Christ, our Redeemer, the only object of our faith, the only one who's given himself for us, who shed his own blood for us, who's done it all that we need to get to heaven, who holds us tight and keeps us faithful, ever living to intercede for us. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, his work in us, and for the blinders, the light that was shown in our hearts. Let us ever love the Holy Spirit and appreciate him and worship him in a correct way. We praise and thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work in us. And Father, we just thank you for this day, for your word, and for all we have in Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.